Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Here we are again, and I'm with my co-host,
Carol Peterson. Hello.
Hello. So we have a very interesting topic. It's something that we as practitioners have been dealing with for years, and we see it. We treat it, holistic practitioners treat it, and standard practitioners treat it only in different ways. But now, guess what? We have a name for it. And we also have a better understanding of it. And it's called mast cell activation syndrome. Duh, what is that?
And sounds like name that disease.
Name that. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Because what happens is our mast cells affect every single cell in our body with very, very high responses in our skin and in our lungs, in our respiratory system, in our esophagus, in our sinus. So very often we're experiencing it and we really don't know why or what is really happening. But it can affect everything because it can turn into autoimmune disease. And what we're talking about is when our mast cells, which are very active cells that are there to protect us.
They're a white blood cell, specialized white blood cell.
Thank you. They're there to protect us. They're there to fight infection. But when they become dramatically overactive, many of us have called it allergy reactions, which is one way to know it. But it can be in every cell in our body, from thyroid problems to stimulation of rheumatoid arthritis to stimulation of diabetes, right back down to itchy skin and hives. It's so difficult to diagnose. Why? Because you go to a doctor for autoimmune disease, and they diagnose the autoimmune disease, but they're not really looking at a cause. And or you go to a doctor because you're having allergies. They diagnose the symptom, which is the allergy, without addressing the cause. So today we're going to talk about two ways of addressing this syndrome and how to identify it. And it can be, to some degree, to a very large degree, addressed in our very own homes. So where do you want to start, Carol?
Goodness. I think one of the most important things, we should acknowledge Dr. Frank Schellenberger's second opinion, his September issue of this year, as taking on this topic. It was just a really good overview. I've looked into mast cell activation. It seemed to be coined not that long ago, and all of a sudden it's a thing. However, it sort of is a gathering place for this whole massive number of symptoms that are associated with histamine release from cells. So I don't think we've really spent a lot of good time looking at the whole range of symptoms. So, for example, we know we can take an antihistamine, right, when our nose is running, and we'll get some relief. We know vitamin C has some antihistamine effect and can help your runny nose. But one of the things that Frank Schellenberger said, how do you diagnose it? There aren't any good tests. but he had two things. One was people always feel worse after they eat. Interesting. And they've been to doctor to doctor to doctor to try to get to the bottom of it, and nobody's been able to help them, and usually are told it must be in your head because nothing we know about can help you. But there are
the blood tests all come out normal.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of blood tests that we can take that give a very non-specific answer, but tell us that something is going on and give us the direction in which way to go. And one is CRP, which is an inflammatory blood test. We're looking at inflammation. The other is a sed rate or an ESR, and that is a mass, that is a white blood cell test, which shows that there is inflammation, but it doesn't tell us where it is at all. So you've got those two tests. I always do an eosinophil test, which is a white blood cell test looking for a rise in two different sections of the white blood cells, the eosinophil or the and or the basophil. Both of those very often go very high when you have this mast cell activation. So there are some things you can look at. They're totally nonspecific, but they can give us a direction as to the fact that there is a significant inflammation or infection or virus happening in our body. Go on, Carol.
Well, the interesting thing is there's so many things like food. Dr. Schellenberger says virtually everything you eat has histamine. And so you can't avoid eating. You've got to eat. So the thing is that you should be making an enzyme, particularly in your gut. It's abbreviated DAO, diamine oxidase. And it's a enzyme that helps you break down histamine. And so you might be genetically low, or you could be low for other reasons. And the histamine effect keeps on going. So there's a reason people might have constant itching. And I certainly run into clients that had that. They're interesting enough, there are supplements of DAO. There are over-the-counter products that you can take as an enzyme to help you with your meals. And I think it might be a good practice to do that if you're having this constellation of symptoms. So I did a deep dive into this a little while ago, and I intended to write a blog, never have done it yet, but maybe this will stimulate it, because I was looking into mast cell activation. And when I come across anything slightly new on the horizon, I always ask the question, do hormones have anything to do with this? And hormones indeed do. And it's an estrogen dominant effect. If you have all these mast cells, they have a whole steroid factory in there. They make all the sex hormones. They make all the adrenal hormones in your mast cells. And so if you're doing that in an unbalanced fashion and estrogen is dominant, you have excessive estrogen. And this is really typical of perimenopause. Your progesterone starts dropping. So
you know why?
Okay.
Carol,
go ahead.
I have found in many post-menopausal women, many of my patients, I have found that they get a new onset asthma. And that is very, very directly related to this syndrome that we're speaking about. They call me up and say, I've never had asthma before, but yet I have this asthma that's plaguing me and quite severe now. I'm now on an inhaler. What do I do? And I hear that with a regularity. It's not uncommon to hear that. But there are hormones that can help that syndrome. Go on, Carol.
Well, particularly progesterone is needed to balance off that estrogen excess. And that this is appearing when progesterone becomes low. And I just had a comment back from one of my clients, and she remarked that, oh, this explains why when I started progesterone, this constant rash on my face just
disappeared.
I know, it's just really kind of cool. And itching, it's so common during perimenopause, menopause, and we don't pay much attention. And then I was very surprised with another client, and until I read this article, it didn't make sense to me. She said, whenever she increases her estrogen, and it's debatable whether she needs to do that, she gets a stomach ache. Now, how to put that together? Well, that's a side effect of a histamine release. So she's provoking mast cells to release that extra histamine.
With a limited DAO, with a limited enzyme intestinally to block that reaction. For whatever reason, her enzyme is reduced and it blocks that reaction. So therefore, she is having a physical reaction, which is very common in skin tissue. So it's happening in this woman's face, in where she's getting red and blotchy in her face, but it can happen throughout the body. It can happen on the arms. It can happen on the neck. It can happen on the chest. And so what are you having? You're having a histamine reaction. But there's two things I want to ask of the audience, Carol.
Oh, and we need to have them call in.
Yes, definitely. I would very much like them to call in. And that number is 212-209-2877. I'd love to share this with you. I know many of you have been experiencing this and not being able to get to the bottom of it. But we have some relationships and balancers and even cures that you can bring into your own home. And that we're going to be discussing in the rest of the hour. So the number to call is 212-209-2877. Give us a call. But there's one other number I want you to hear. And this is for our survival, for the survival of BAI, and for your ability to hear information like this. And this is important because everywhere we go, this type of information is being blocked. So, and that's not an exaggeration. We've just heard that YouTube is going to be pulling out of their algorithms and blocking information that is not consistent with the World Health or the CDC information. So that means that radio shows like this and stations like WBAI are going to be essential for you and your ability to hear an alternate relationship, hear an alternate relationship to your health so you can take health back into your home so you don't need to take prescription drugs every single time that you have skin itching or any type of problem. And this is essential for you. These programs have been life-saving for many of us. I know it has been for me. I've learned so much just listening to Carol, but also listening to the other holistic programs on this station. Well, that information is not going to be available as readily available as it has been up to now. So it's your job to support WBAI so it can continue to be in the forefront and sharing this information with you. The number to call is 212 209-2950, 212-209-2950. Give a call, become our buddy, and become our buddy. I know you are, you already are, but make it official. Become a buddy, become a friend of WBAI, and let's put it in reality. Become for your health, direct cause and effect, because this is one of the main places that you're going to receive information, health information that's not being censored to the tune of the CDC of the World Health.
Go so on, Carol, also, let's have some people join the discussion, and that's 212-209-2877. So give us a call while we're talking about mast cell activation syndrome, MCAS. You'll see it abbreviated. So I wanted to also bring up that Dr. Schellenberger said adrenal hormones, DHEA, which is the most abundant steroidal hormone, adrenal hormone in our body, and cortisol. Both of those are low in these kind of patients. And I used to think that if your cortisol was good enough, you wouldn't be reactive. You wouldn't be having trouble with foods, environments, pollen, et cetera, because that cortisol would protect you. I think it still does. Notice that it's very low in these situations. But this combination effect with histamine is something that really needs to be taken into consideration, not just the cortisol, but the histamine part, because I believe you can improve somebody's cortisol and DHEA, but it might not be enough to take care of everything.
And what many of you, so we're saying MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome. Well, many of us know it as allergies.
Yep.
Seasonal allergies, where here we go into spring or into fall, depending on your specific trigger, and we get sinusitis or we get sinus pain. Our nose are dripping. Our eyes are dripping. Or we get body rashes. We understand that. So we don't want to get so technical, excuse me, that you miss what we're really talking about. We're talking about something that a majority of us react to. And there are very specific triggers for that. Some triggers
Go ahead. Well, one of the ones that really surprised me were NSAIDs and non-steroidal things like Advil, ibuprofen, naproxen, and aspirin too. It triggers histamine release. Who knew? How often everybody turns to these substances as the first thing for relief of any kind of pain, whether it's headache or cycle pain or mild arthritis, mild inflammation, the first thing you do is you reach for these substances, and then you're setting off a histamine release.
So that's very, very true. But there are some things also that are a little bit less direct than that. And some of those, number one is having mold in your house. If you're living in an old house or even in an old apartment like in the city, or very often the reaction is to cats. How many people walk into an apartment and they have cats and your eyes swell up and your nose starts dripping and you start sneezing, and or dogs, any of those reactions. But there's also foods that are very common.
Let me say a word before we pass up molds, because
I was going to go into that. I've got some thoughts, very important thoughts
well,
on
well,
that.
Well, let's go into the molds. I want to make it clear why this is a problem with mold. The mycotoxins that mold organisms produce, and that's really the poop. That's the excretion product of these organisms. So it inactivates that enzyme I spoke about earlier, that DAO. That's inhibited. So you can't start breaking down the histamine on your own. It inhibits the whole works.
So one, well, then let's go into mold. One time I had a patient, and I'll give this example and then explain it. I had a patient who couldn't go out to her beach house. You know, the house was on the water, and it was moist, and so it would have an accumulation of mold. So she stopped being able to go to her beach house because she would become so reactive whenever she walked in the door that she really couldn't be there. Even opening up the windows, letting air circulate, it helped somewhat, but not enough. So I heard that story, and she didn't even come to me for that problem. She came to me for something else, and we were talking, and she told me about that. So I said, listen, let's try something. And this is also brilliant for all of us. I said, get an ozone machine. You can get them on the internet. Get an ozone machine, and 2 weeks before you decide to go to your beach house, I want you to put it in the basement and turn it on. Yep. And then after 1 week, I want you to bring it up to the middle floor and turn it on. And then the next week, so I guess it was 3 weeks, I want you to put it upstairs, leave all the doors open, leave the windows closed, and turn it on. She said that was the first year she didn't suffer going to her beach house. And after that, every single year, she turned on her ozone machine before she arrived and was able to clean out the house. She said it felt like walking into a brand new house. The air was so clear and clean. And then as she lived there in the summer, she kept an ozone machine on in the basement. So mold was not able to accumulate while she was there. And I've done this with other patients in their apartments that found that they were getting ill in their apartments. And it's particularly important in the winter when we close all the windows and we're in the house and we have our steam heat going on. It's particularly important to be able to deal with that. And many people get quite ill specifically from the molds and the mycotoxins that they release. But these molds are sensitive to ozone, and they can be knocked out. You turn it on. If you're reacting in your bedroom, you get up, get out of the house, get ready to go out of the house, turn the machine on in your bedroom and leave. And go to work.
It's irritating to your lungs, so you don't want to be in the house while you're ozonating it.
Not in high doses, not at all. So then you get home, you walk in the door, you go in your bedroom, you open, hold your breath, open, turn off the machine, open your window, let the room air out, close the door, and it'll be the first night of good sleep that you have had in a while if you're reacting to your bedroom. Go on, Carol.
Okay, so where are we? I was thinking about, I had a college roommate, every time she went out in the sun, she'd get a rash all over her body.
Oh, yes.
And so physical exertion or changes in heat and cold can actually provoke this histamine release. So I wish I knew
that,
what I know now.
Well, there is a thing called exercise-induced asthma. And I had a patient who was a runner. And when she would run and she would be in races, what would happen is she'd get asthma in the middle of the race and had difficulty getting enough oxygen in. So what I did at that time, and this is another at-home treatment for this, is I gave her this spray that was made. It was out of England. It's called Cromolyn Sodium. And the spray was very well known in Europe. And it's made from an herb that I really hadn't heard of before. And, but what it does is it blocks that histamine response. It's derived from an herb called Amivisnaga. Amivisnaga traditionally controlled kidney stone pain and its ability.
That's a biggie.
Yeah, that's a very biggie. And it had an ability to open the airways. And that's when the researchers started studying it and created a spray out of it. At this time, the spray is not available, but there are capsules and they're over the counter. And you could get them if you take them about 15 to 20 minutes before you plan heavy exertion, you can block that histamine response, which constricts the airways and reduces your ability to get adequate oxygen. But I'm going to give out the number again. We want you to join this conversation because this conversation is about you. It's about allergies of all types, but it's also about autoimmune disease. We haven't even started to begin to speak about that. So the number to call is 212-209-2877. It's 212-209-2877. Join our conversation so that we can hear how you've dealt with this in your life or how you've been treated with this in your life. So there's another form that you can use to treat yourself in your own home. And one is quercetin. We've been speaking about quercetin, for so long, haven't we, Carol?
Yeah, we sure have. Particularly in the COVID, long COVID kind of issues. It's a mainstay of some of the recommendations.
Exactly, and also for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So, because what happens when you have the mast cell activation, what happens is there are two main parts of your immune system. There's T1, which generally, I'm going to say in general terms, is specifically for bacteria, virus, and for your immune system. And then there's T2, which is very much more for allergies and autoimmune reactions. Well, when your body's activated by histamine, the T2 goes very high.
Yep.
And when it goes high, it suppresses T1. So when it goes high, your body has less resistance to just general bacteria, general viruses, and you're more susceptible to have to catch something which can be significant. Whereas when the T2 and T1 are in balance, you have autoimmune allergy protection as well as protection from bacteria and virus. Your body's there. This was all created. The body is there to protect you. It wants the survival of the species, but on a very high level. It doesn't want you to survive. It wants thriving of the species, and it's set up to do that. So quercetin is one of them, but there are others.
Yeah, while you're on there, everything that increases that T2 is, there's provokers, there's chronic infections, autoimmune diseases already, Lyme disease, chemical exposures, and especially vaccines. This is a big problem. Vaccines of any sort overactivate T2 and suppress T1, which is really important for us. So unlike the things people say, vaccines are not necessarily acting like support to your immune system. There's a part of your immune system that's really important that gets suppressed with this kind of therapy, not generally well known. Wanted to bring up one of the effects because I'm hearing this with menopausal, perimenopausal women, and they get these strange vibrations. And this was listed, neurological things. So people have this vibratory kind of feeling and tinnitus even. And I thought it might be hooked up to adrenaline. But as it turns out, it could be a response to histamine, which is very interesting. So it does come up.
It's almost like shock, sometimes, right? Like almost like a shock that goes through the body, goes through the brain, it goes through your muscles, like, ooh, like that, a shock. It's not tremendously painful, but it can be very histamine mediated. But another thing that can happen, you know, so many of us, we've spoken about this many times on the show, and that we're deficient in that, and that's hydrochloric acid, betaine, yes, hydrochloride, and that helps the digestion and breaks down the proteins, because specific proteins are very important to help balance our histamine. And if we're not breaking down our proteins, that process is being interfered with, and it's essential. So we're looking at quercetin, betaine hydrochloride. We're also looking at another one that I've given out for years, and that is stinging nettles. Whenever someone walked in my door with allergies, I gave them a mix of quercetin and stinging nettles, and I got very good responses. But then another one that Dr. Schallenberg spoke about was licorice. And why? You already brought this up. Licorice can be a base for DHEA. So
supports DHEA. Yep, it's an adaptogen, which is
exactly
where it works. Exactly. Mimics your hormone.
And then we've got resveratrol. A very high and powerful antioxidant. And then we've got berberine. Berberine is interesting in that it's got so many uses that we have found that work so effectively. Berberine brings down blood sugar, but it also acts as an antibacterial in the intestines. And it's very good for you. And then we also have black cumin seed oil, which we've talked about. We had a whole show and a fundraiser based on black cumin seed oil, which is another powerful anti-inflammatories. So when you look at all of the above, we're looking at anti-inflammatories, but very specifically related and directed toward the T2. And supporting T1 also. The number to call, I'm asking you to join the conversation again. And we're going to run out of time, and I know you're going to all call right in the last 10 minutes, and then we're not going to be able to thoroughly focus on your questions. So the number to call is 212-209-2877. Give us a call. Give us a call. If you have autoimmune disease, give us a call. If you have allergies, and just and join our conversation. There's lots of ways to approach this because it's such a broad spectrum. One time I had a patient that used to break out in severe hives throughout her body. Totally severe, and it was debilitating, and she never understood why this had happened, why this happened, or she never understood how to prevent it. But what happened was, it's kind of interesting. I did a therapy, and you'll find this interesting, Carol. I did a therapy of ozone and ultraviolet light, UVB, UVC light on her, which totally resolved it within a day or two. But then we did it a few times, and it never came back to that degree. So it could have been that she had a hidden infection that the UVB and the ozone helped with. But what do you think, Carol?
No, I think that's probably spot on. And ozone in general as a treatment is very helpful for this whole syndrome, for helping knock it out. I wanted to cover the pharmaceutical industry has been working on this too. And there are two types of receptors for histamine called H1 and H2. And I'm sure you'll recognize these are all over the counter. Zyrtec, Allegra, Claritin are over-the-counter antihistamines, and they specifically work at the H1 receptors. Then there's a whole different set that we understand. Usually,
H1 is histamine 1.
Right, they're both histamine, H1 and H2. H2 receptors, also histamine is the H. And we're going after the gut things with this, and you'll find drugs such as Pepcid, Zantac, and Tagamet are drugs that tackle those histamine reactions at the H2 receptors, which are predominant in the gut. Hence my client with the gut pain every time she increased her estrogen. So this is so fascinating. We don't have an H1 and H2 combined, but the H1 then would be more for the allergic, the nasal rhinitis, the watery eyes, itchy, sneezy, all of those reactions that are provoked by histamine at the H1 receptors. So there's two kinds of sets of over-the-counter products that have been directed against histamine activity.
There's one other med that has been shown effective. It's called Singular. And that has been shown effective because it's a leukotriene blocker, which is a white blood cell activation blocker, which can be very effective for these type of autoimmune and allergy reactions. But there's a couple of things, like Carol read this paper, which was a really good paper. And the first thing she saw was that there was, although he mentioned hormones, there wasn't enough emphasis on hormones in terms of working through your hormones and balancing your hormones as an antihistamine. For example, Carol mentioned to me progesterone. Can you explain that? And then, Carol, then I want to discuss something else. Can you explain how or whether progesterone really fits into this picture?
Sure. One of the things that we've been taught, actually, is not entirely 100% of the picture, and we've learned much more in the interim, and it's that particular organs release hormones, like we think our ovaries release estrogens, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, etc. And testes, the same thing for the sex hormones, and the adrenal gland for the adrenals, thyroid gland for thyroid. We have this, like we have to have a particular gland doing this thing. However, there's a whole big science, it's called intracrinology, inside the endocrine system inside the cell. So each of the cells are a hormone factory in their own, and actually we're quite dependent on that intracellular hormone factory. So as I mentioned before, the mast cells have this hormone factory. And then we get to the situation where we're estrogen dominant during perimenopause. Women have the highest level of estrogens during their whole lifespan, which is often ignored. We're told all these menopausal symptoms are due to a deficiency in estrogen. But early in perimenopause, the opposite is true. Progesterone is very deficient. So we start seeing some of these symptoms that are mast cell activating type things. Early in perimenopause, when progesterone really drops, the estrogen effect is magnified because it's the highest in the lifetime with not enough progesterone. And then bump onto that for other things progesterone needs to balance, including adrenaline. It needs to balance out all those xenoestrogens that you have. And this is going to be quite a big problem. We've talked about glyphosate being sprayed on our crops, and it's virtually everywhere now. So all that food you're eating is full of glyphosate, which is an estrogenic activity. So you pile that onto your already elevated estrogen, and it's a big problem. Then I just heard, get this, Beyond Meat, that particular product.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
We talked about this.
Oh, no.
I saw this meme about Beyond Meat, and it said that there were 44 milligrams of estrogen in one patty burger thing. And
44.
And if you were to give estrogen you'd probably give estradiol
1 milligram.
Right. And then
not 44. And 1 milligram is high. 0.8.
Yeah, and correspondingly, they checked a beef patty, and it was like 0.001 nanograms, not milligrams. Nanograms is like 1/1000th of a milligram. So it was tons more estrogen. So we're being encouraged to eat these artificial foods, which we don't really understand the composition of. And so we're loading our bodies in this imbalanced fashion. So could you get a histamine release from something like that? I maintain that you could.
or could you suppress testosterone, or could you create early puberty, or could you create polycystic ovary disease? Can you create all of that with this extremely high estrogen that you wouldn't even give in a pill? And what's going to happen to reproduction when you're eating every day, sometimes twice a day, 44 milligrams of estrogen? That's quite scary.
Okay, so you were right, Corinne. Somebody waited for the last 10 minutes, but we have a caller.
there was one thing I wanted to talk about, but well, that's LDN. But let's. I knew someone was calling. Hi, you're live on BAI. Thanks, Carol, for telling me. Hi.
I apologize. My name is Subhash from Connecticut. Also,
you don't need to apologize.
Yeah.
We're glad you called.
Also known as your number one fan. Listen, ladies, I tuned in a bit late, so I knew you guys were talking about. I heard the part about the adaptogens, but I've been on an in-depth look and study into the mitochondria, and I'm just wondering if A, did you guys touch on that today, and if not, B, can you guys do sort of like a deep dive on that sometime in the future?
So many drugs block mitochondrial function, and so many of us are walking along the streets and walking along in our life like half mass. We don't have the energy or the focus to focus on what we need. And that all comes down to, and you hit it right there so perfectly, it comes down to mitochondrial function, our cells' ability to make and utilize energy. And that's very important. But today we didn't even begin to discuss that. We didn't compare, which we probably could have, but we've been pretty busy up to now. We probably could have compared that with histamine release and how it affects the mitochondria. But I promise you, we will in the future, in the very near future, go into a deep dive on mitochondria because it's one of our favorite subjects also. What do you think, Carol?
Yeah, I think so. There's two things the mitochondria do for you. It creates your energy system, so you feel like you have good energy. But the other thing the mitochondria does for us, it keeps us warm. It's the furnace that helps our body run. And as it happens, all the enzymes in our body are very dependent, temperature dependent. If you took any elementary chemistry course, you know chemical reactions rely on both temperature and pressure. So in the human body, there's a good reason where a normal temperature is around 98.6, plus or minus a little bit. When you deviate from that, if you just take your temperature and you notice your temperature is low, you already know. That's diagnostic for low mitochondria activity. I remember a woman telling me she'd go to her doctor's office and her temperature would be 95 each time she went in there.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I'd slap her face. Get her mad. Get your temperature up.
The fact that her hair was falling out was completely ignored, and her temperature was completely ignored. So it's a very quick, easy diagnostic. If you're taking charge of your own health, take your temperature.
Oh, okay.
Very
great.
Important. So we promise we will go through that topic. Thank you so much for bringing it up to us.
Very good. I'm sorry I missed the first half, but thank God for the archives.
Well, you know what? You really didn't miss it because you can go into the archives at WBAI.org, archive. Look up our show and you can hear the whole thing. This was a very informative and very good show because it's a topic that touches so many of us. So you didn't miss it. Pardon?
I said, aren't they all? All the shows are informative and important to me.
we try to make them so, but we're particularly proud of this one. So, thank you so much for your call. So I wanted to bring up something. We're coming closer to the end of the show. We've got a couple more minutes. I wanted to bring up low-dose naltrexone, LDN as it's called in those familiar with it, and that's low-dose naltrexone. And low-dose naltrexone has been touted for multiple things. One, for its ability to help and sometimes work very directly with healing of cancers, but also consistently, very directly, with reducing autoimmune disease. And sometimes even pulling people out of their autoimmune reactions. It's a very important chemical that has been broken down. Normal dose of it is 150 milligrams. This was created or discovered the effect of it by Dr. Bahari. And he recommended 1.5 milligrams every night before bed. And he started working with pancreatic cancer patients and with AIDS patients. And he was getting some dramatic responses. Well, so what I have found is when I give LDN for autoimmune disease, we never really know the degree to which it will work. I just gave it recently to a patient of mine who has Raynaud's syndrome. That's a syndrome where there's reduced circulation to the hands and the feet. Even in the summertime, sometimes the patient will get blue fingers, which tells us they're not getting enough circulation to the hands. But in the winter, it's extremely severe. So I gave it to this patient to get her going, get it in her body before winter hits. And lo and behold, she had also extremely painful periods where she would be doubled over and often vomiting. She said it went away completely. She also is not having the allergy reactions that she previously had regularly during the summer. It made it very difficult for her to go outside. So LDN is something I would definitely look at if I was suffering significantly with allergies and or autoimmune disease. You might be in for a very pleasant surprise. It's low-dose naltrexone. And we didn't even get into, Carol, all the foods that trigger an excess histamine response, even in people who really don't have that syndrome to that degree. They can get reactions. Some of the foods are fermented foods, like fermented cheeses.
Sauerkraut, my favorite.
I know. I saw that. I said, oh, Carol's going to be disappointed. And alcohol also, it can really create havoc with our histamine response, because alcohol suppresses the DAO enzyme, which works with the intestines to lower the histamine response because it blocks that conversion to histamine. So this was a very interesting, particularly to me, talk today.
Yeah, very, very. I learned a lot doing a little research, and compliments to Dr. Frank Schellenberger for putting together a really excellent newsletter on the topic that we are able to do. I have one more product, actually, I wanted to say something.
Yeah, 1 minute.
there is a isoquercetin, which is a stronger thing. You usually have to take quercetin in quite large doses, like hundreds and hundreds of milligrams, and this is 50 milligrams once or twice a day, and it's made by US Enzymes, which you can find through my website if you'd like to. So let's give out our websites. Mine is the Wellness by Design Project.com, and Corinne, your website?
Corinne Health, CORINNE Health.com, or you can get it also by Furnari Health, FURNARI Health. And you can comment on our show through either of our emails, and we also have a Facebook page, and that's
Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol, and you can leave comments there. We'd love to hear from you.
So thank you so much. It really is fun and was fun speaking with you this day. We learned a lot. We know we shared lots of good information. So we'll be back next week with another show similar to this.
Thank you.
Full with information. And remember, there's one ever very important thing. You will find that your access to alternative information is getting limited on multiple different mediums. And this radio station allows you to hear alternative medical information. The number to call to support WBAI and become a buddy and keep this information available to you is 212-209-2950. And thank you, Reggie, for always helping us.
Thank you, Reggie. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week.